Today's daf is Gittin daf Tesvav, and we are about 15 lines from the top of daf Yud Dalet Amid Beis, the two dots, Holach, Hoylech, Mono Leploini. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shoshana Malka Bas Dobra, and today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas, Brocha Chaya, Bas Chanan Yodoyev. So, we're at the very last daf of the first parak of Masechtas Gittin. We're in the middle of a sugya, the sugya of Hoylech Kischi or Hoylech Lav Kischi Dami. So the case, as it relates to today's portion of the sugya, is discussing somebody that wants to give his friend a gift. Goes over to a shliach and he tells the shliach, take this mana or whatever it is and bring it to Pliny. I want to gift it to him. Will you please take it to Pliny? The question is, as soon as this shliach takes possession of the gift with the intention of bringing it to Pliny, is he coin it on behalf of Pliny, or is he merely a middleman? He's just an intermediary, he's just a shliach to bring it to Pliny, but he's not physically coin anything on his behalf. What would be the tzad that the shliach could be coin it on behalf of Pliny? The rule is, zochin la'adam shalai b'fanav. A person could be zoicha in something on behalf of his friend, even if he was never told to do so, even if he was never instructed to do so. Thus, there would be makim to think that if the gifter hands this gift over to the shliach, it could be at that point the shliach already is going to be zoicha in this gift on behalf of the person that he's supposed to bring it to. Meaning he won't just be a shliach, but he'll actually be koinet and zoichet for him based on the chiddush of zochen l'adam shaloi b'fan. What would be the tzad that the shliach should not be able to be zoichet on behalf of the person that he's bringing it to? Because although it's true, zochen l'adam shaloi b'fanav, that just means that from the standpoint of the recipient, he's very happy and it's l'chatchila for him, for this shliach to be zoichen it on his behalf. But you need the consent of the mishaleach as well. You would need that the mishaleach, when he gave this gift to the shliach, was thinking that, Reb Shliach, if you want to be zoichen on behalf of the person that you're bringing it to right now, I'm okay with that. I know he's okay with it, based on Zalchem Ladam Shloi B'fanav. Halach is okay with it, so it should be fine. So really, the core of the question is, what is the Mishaleach thinking? The Shliach doesn't seem to have any issue being Zoichin on behalf of the person that he's sending the gift to. The recipient for sure wants it. That's the rule of Zalchem Ladam Shloi B'fanav. Chazal are okay with it. That's the rule of Zalchem Ladam Shloi B'fanav. So really, the question is, what's the Mishaleach thinking? Now, if the Mishaleach would say clearly, be zoicha in this mona on behalf of Pliny, we wouldn't be having this conversation. The question is, where he didn't say be zoicha, he just said hoylech mona. He said, do me a favor, take this mona and bring it to Pliny. The question now is, do we assume that hoylech is kischi? It's as if he said be zoicha in it. If it's as if he said be zoicha in it, so the mishaleach relinquished his rights. He allows the shliach now to be zoicha. We know the shliach wants it. Chazal said, zochen l'adam shaloi b'fanav. As a result, hoylech kischi dami will say that the shliach was zoichen it right away, or maybe simply saying hoylech is not the same as saying schi. So I said bring it, which means that you could be a shliach. And once it arrives in Pliny's Rishos, at that point, and a chanami, it's going to belong to him. It's not going to belong to me anymore. But up until that point, it's mine. I said hoylech, hoylech slav kischi. And I said schi and a chanami. But all he said was hoylech. And being that all he said was hoylech, he never relinquished his rights. He never was mezakit to the shliach, and really, the shliach therefore can't be zoich in it. It's not going to belong to the person that received it until it physically comes to him. The bottom line is, that's the shaila. Is hoylech kischi or is hoylech lav kischi? Again, if he would say schi, of course, schi is kischi dami. And there's a halach of zochen l'adam shaloi b'fanav, so that the shliach would be zoich in it right away on behalf of the person that he was told to be zoich it for, even though he never heard from the person that he is being zoichet for, based on zochen l'adam shaloi b'fanav. The shaila that we're discussing is a more technical shaila. Not does schi work, not is there a concept of zochen l'adam shaloi b'fanav. All those lamdashe sugyas have been addressed elsewhere. The question is the word hoylech, that magic word, is it kischi or is it not kischi? It seemed to have been somewhat of an ambiguous term from a sugya standpoint. And really, that is going to be the avoida of the first part of today's daf. Zogt Gemara, Hoylech mana leploini. If somebody goes over to someone else, Reuven tells Shimon, Hoylech mana, I want you to take this mana and bring it leploini as a gift. V'halach, Shimon then went to ploini. We'll call him Levi, ubikshoy, and he was looking for him. V'loy matzoy, ve'einenu. He couldn't find him. And the reason he couldn't find him, Rashi says, is one word, Shemes, because this person died. So Reuven tells Shimon, Hoylech mana leploini, the magic word Hoylech. Ploini is Levi. He tries finding Levi, but Levi's not around. Says the Gemara. Tani Chadar, we learned in one braise, so Yachzru l'mishaleach, that what Shimon, the Shleach, needs to do is take this mana and bring it back to Reuven. I tried finding Ploini, I couldn't find him. As a result, give it back to the sender. Tanya Idach, we learned in another braise, that you don't give it back to Reuven, but rather you give it to the Yarshim of Levi. You were supposed to give it to Levi, you couldn't find him. Okay, so at the very least, give it to his Yarshim. At first glance, it would seem that this is the Machloikis. Seems pretty posh. The braise that says that you give it to the Yarshim of Misha Nishtalchuloi, he holds Hoylech Kischi. So as soon as Reuven told Shimon Hoylech, it's as if he told him Schi, Zachan Ladim Shleibafanov. So at that point, the Shliach was Zoicha. If the Shliach was Zoicha, it belongs to the Shliach. Shliach died. What happens if somebody owns something and then he dies? It goes over to his Yarshim. So it's for that reason you give it to the Yarshim of the person, Shen Nishtalchuloi. Whereas the Braisa that said, Yachzru L'Mishaleach, holds Hoylech as Lav Kischi Dami. As a result, the shliach was never zoich in it on behalf of the person that he's sending the gift to. Levi never had a kinyan in it. If Levi never had a kinyan in it, if Levi dies, why should it go to his yarshim? The mishaleach instructed the shliach, give it to Levi. Well, Levi's not here. So if Levi's not here, you have to go back to the mishaleach and you have to ask him what to do with it. So l'chur, at first glance, the stira between these two braises would seem to be b'machloikis shnuya. What's a machloikis? Hoylech kischi or hoylech lav kischi? Sounds pretty straightforward. It's not. The Gemara says, "Av three dichuyim, av three other ways that you could understand this machlokes." Amar Rab Abba Bar Mamu. Rab Abba Bar Mamu was the first pshat. He said, "The kuli yama hoylech lav kischi." Maybe everybody holds that hoylech is lav kischi v'loy kasha, and still there's no stira between the two prices. Habibari habishchid mara. One price is talking about where the mishaleach was a bari, he was a gesunter mensch, and the other price is talking about where the mishaleach was a shchiv mara, he was somebody that was very not okay. Shchiv mara is someone that's on his proverbial deathbed. The braisa that said yachzru l'mishaleach is talking about where the mishaleach was a bari. Hoylech lav kischi dami. So the shliach was never zoiche in it on behalf of the person that he's sending it to. It still belongs to the mishaleach. The recipient, Levi's dead. As a result, you have to give it back to the mishaleach. The braisa that says that you should give it to the yarshim of Misha Nishtalchuloi, it's talking about where Reuven, the mishaleach, was a shchiv mera. If he was a shchiv mera, there the halach is different. Because even though hoylech lav kischi dami, that's true, but at the same time, there's another rule. Divrei shchiv mera kichsuvim v'chimsurim dami. We saw it a little bit yesterday. This is something that underpins the entirety of Torah Shabbat Peh, and that is a shchiv mera's words are the equivalent. It's tantamount to the greatest kinyan imaginable. Kichsuvim means like kinyan shtar. Chimsurim means like kinyan mesira, b'shicha. When a shchiv mera says something, it happens. And as a result, although hoylech is lav kischi dami, but when the shchiv mera said hoylech mana leploni, at that point, the recipient was zoich in it, not because of hoylech kischi, but because of divrei shchiv mera kichsuv v'chimsurim dami. And it's for that reason you have to give it to his yarshim. But al-kapon, the machloikis is not hoylech kischi, hoylech lav kischi. Everybody holds hoylech is lav kischi. What then is going on over here? What's going on here is it's not even a machloikis. It's just a kimtis. One price is talking about a bari, hoylech lav kischi dami, give it back to the mishaleach. The other price is talking about a shchiv mera, divrei shchiv mera kichsuv v'chimsurim dami. Therefore, you give it to the yarshim of Levi. Rav Zvid Amar, Rav Zvid said a different time. Haba haba shchiv mera. Could be both prices are talking about a shchiv mera. So both braises hold hoylech lav kischi dami, and both braises are talking about a shchiv mera. What then is this machloikis between the two braises? Had the isa lemekabel b'shas matan mois, had the leisa lemekabel b'shas matan mois. When the shliach arrived, when Shimon looked for Levi, Levi wasn't alive. When did Levi die? If Levi died before the shchiv mera said what he said, so it comes out that although divrei shchiv mera is kichsuvim chimsurim dami, But what he said was a tos, because he thought Levi was alive. It turns out Levi was not alive. So, therefore, yachsul mishaleach, you give it back to him. If, however, Levi was alive at the time that Reuven told Shimon, hoylach mana l'ploni, so divrei shchivim raz kichsum rechim surim dami. At that point, Levi was like, even though when the shliach arrived, he wasn't there anymore, it doesn't matter, and therefore, you're going to give it to his yarshim. So, both brises hold hoylach lach kischi and halacha. Both brises are going with the same akimta that we're talking about, a shchimra. The shaila is Levi, who died, right? Meses lefanein. When did he die? Did he die before Reuven said hoylach mana l'plani, or did he die after Reuven said hoylach mana l'plani? The only time divrei shchimra kichsum rechim surim dami is going to be in play is if, at the very least, Levi was alive at the time that Reuven said hoylach mana l'plani. So, according to that mitzias, he was zoich in it, you would give it to his yarshim. The price that says, Yachsum Shalech, is talking about where he had died already. Rapapa said a third akimta. He said that lo'ilam, everybody holds hoylech as lav kischi. And hava hababari, both prices are talking about where he was not a shchivmara. Now, if hoylech is lav kischi, and we're not talking about a shchivmara, so we understand the brisa that says Yachsur l'mishalech. What would be pshat in the brisa that says that you should give it to the yarshim of the shliach of the purse of Levi? Said Rapapa, hadem mis mekabel b'chayim noisin, and hadem mis noisin b'chayim mekabel. The case of the brisa that says that you're supposed to give it to the Yarshim of Misha Nishtalcholoi, it's talking about where there was another piece to the story. What happened was the Mishaleach also died. And because the Mishaleach also died, so now there's another reason that you're supposed to fulfill what it is he said, and that is Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. So Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames is something that is going to permeate the next part of the daf. But that's a new concept, and that is that if a mace says something, you're supposed to follow the instructions of the mace. Now, he didn't say something when he was a mace. He said something right before he was going to die. Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames is a little bit of a misnomer. But right before he died, he instructed. So there's an obligation now to follow and listen to what it is he said. So L'Oilam, we're talking about a Bari. And we're not working with Divrei Shchiv Merak Kichsuv and Chim Surim Dami. And there's also no Hoylech Kischi. The reason you're supposed to give it to the Yarshim of who it was sent to is it's talking about that this Mishaleach himself had died. And being that the Mishaleach himself died, so at that point you have the halacha of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. And being that it's Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, so it's for that reason the halacha is that you have to give it. So hod mace noisen b'chayim mekabel. If the noisen himself died b'chayim mekabel, so not only did Levi die, but Reuven also died. So then already the halacha is going to be that outs mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, you're going to have to give it to the yarshim of Misha Nishtalcholoi. Bottom line is, we're discussing this shayla of hoylech kischi dami or hoylech lav kischi dami. The Gemara thought that maybe the steer between the two brises is discussing hoylech kischi or hoylech lav kischi. The Gemara was doichit in three ways. Either one is a bari, one's a shchivmara. Maybe they're both talking about where it was a shchivmara. One is talking about where Levi was alive at the time that Reuven instructed. Levi was not alive at the time that Reuven instructed. Or maybe one of the brises is talking about where the Mishaleach died, and it's working with the halacha of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. Bottom line is, so what's the halacha? Hoylech kischi or hoylech lav kischi? So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa now. A brisa, which is going to make the previous two brises that we just discussed look simple. A brisa that's going to mention loipachis from seven shittas that the Gemara is going to suggest maybe is discussing this halach of hoylech kischi or hoylech lav kischi. So, Gemara, lema hoylech kischi tanoihi. Maybe this shayla of hoylech kischi is really machlekes that I'm the tanya learned in a brisa. Hoylech mana l'ploini. So again, Reuven tells Shimon, hoylech mana l'levi. The halach. Shimon went to find Levi. The bikshoy. And he searched for him. The loy mitzoy. And he couldn't find him. And the reason he couldn't find him is they nenu, because Levi died. So what's the halacha? Yachzru l'mishaleach. So Shimon, the shliach, is supposed to take the money and he's supposed to bring it back to Reuven. You give it back to the mishaleach. Meis mishaleach. What happens if the mishaleach also died? So now the mishaleach is not alive. Levi's not alive and Reuven is not alive. Rav Nosson, Rav Yaakov, Amru, Rav Nosson, Rav Yaakov both said, Yachzru l'yorshe mishaleach. What you should do is you should give it to the yorshim of the Mishaleach. So you want to give it back to Reuven? you couldn't find him either. So what you do is you give it to his yarshim. Some say you don't give it to the yarshim of Reuven, the mishalech, but you give it to the yarshim of the recipient, mishen ishtachulai, the one who the money was being sent to, the yarshim of Levi. Rabbi Yudan Nasi, Amar Mishum Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yudan Nasi said the name Rabbi Yaakov. Shomer Mishum Rabbi Meir, who said the name Rabbi Meir cryptically, mitzvah lekayim divrei ames. What does that mean? The Gemara is going to explain. The Chachamim Maimon, the Chachamim said, Yachloiku. The Kan Amru, here meaning in Bavel, that's where the Talmud was written. Kol Mash, Yirtza Shlich, Yasa, the Shlich could do whatever he wants. Amru Reb Shimon Anasi, Reb Shimon Anasi is the seventh opinion, quote unquote, that's mentioned here in the Braisa. And he said, Al Yodi Hoyamaisa, I had a story, the Amru, and I'll tell you what they paskin in this case, Yachsru the Yarshim Mishalech. You should give it back to the Yarshim of the Mishalech, which was the second Shita mentioned in the Braisa, Rab Nosin and Rav Yaakov. The bottom line is, there's a lot going on here. At first glance, it seems to be a little bit ambiguous, slightly confusing. And the question is, what exactly is all these Shitas? What are they arguing about? Zok Gemara, my love, at first glance, it would seem that what's going on here in this braisa is they're discussing the machlokes of hoylech kischi and hoylech lav kischi. Now, just to be clear, the Gemara is going to explain now the seven shitas. The Gemara is going to be toila these shitas in hoylech kischi and hoylech lav kischi, but the Gemara is also going to be toiled in other things as well. So you can't just say, oh, there's seven shitas and they're all arguing in hoylech kischi or hoylech lav kischi. That lechura would leave you with two shitas, not with seven. Now, it's not seven shitas, as we'll see, but the bottom line is, you wouldn't have all this noise if all it was yeah, hoylech kischi, hoylech lav kischi. So there's for sure more going on here in this braisa. But what we need to extrapolate is really one slice of this discussion, and that is, we're trying to find that the word tanon that debated the shailo of hoylech kischi, hoylech lav kischi. But the bottom line is, if we assume that there was a machlokes tanon of hoylech kischi, hoylech lav kischi, so at least we have a foundation, we have a starting point to now try to navigate this braisa. So the Gemara is going to navigate the entire braisa for us. Says the Gemara, the Tana Kama saw, the Tana Kama hold hoylech lav kischi. Again, what was the Tana Kama? Right, the case that we started the daf with. So Reuven told Shimon, take a mana to Levi, tried to find him, he couldn't find him. So what did the Braisa say? Yachzeru l'mishalech. Bring it back to the Mishalech. So the Gemara, okay, clear, l'chura, that the Tanakami, is the first opinion mentioned, holds that hoylech is lav kischi. Because if hoylech was kischi, then what would be the halacha? You wouldn't give it back to the Mishalech, you'd have to give it to the Yarshim. From the fact that you're giving it back to the Mishalech, that's pretty clear that he holds Hoylech Lav Kischi. Rav Nos and Rav Yaakov Nami, what did Rav Nos and Rav Yaakov say? They were the second sheet to mention. They were discussing an added wrinkle to the story, where Meis Mishalech, where the Mishalech died. So you can't just give it back to the Mishalech, he's not alive anymore. So what did Rav Nos and Rav Yaakov say? Give it to the Yarshim of the Mishalech, says the Braisa. So they too hold Hoylech Lav Kischi. It's pretty obvious that they also hold Hoylech Lav Kischi. Because if they held Hoylech Kischi, then why are you giving it to the Yarshim of the Mishalech? You should give it to the Yarshim of Mishen Ishtachuloi. In addition to that, they also hold, and that's why they added what they added, V'afogaf demis, lo yamrinu mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. They hold that even though the Mishalech is not alive anymore, still you give it back to the Yarshim of the Mishalech, as opposed to the Yarshim of Mishen Ishtachuloi. What's the extra chiddush? Because even if you hold Hoylech Lav Kischi Dami, but it could be once the Mishalech dies, there's more of a reason to give it to the Yarshim of Mishen Ishtachuloi because of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. Once he dies, now there's a specific obligation to maybe follow his instructions. And from the fact that even if he died, we give it to his Yarshim, not Mishen Ishtachuloi's Yarshim, not Levi's Yarshim, so that's a raya that you don't say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. What was the third shita? The third sheet that said, L'yarshay Mishen Ishtachulai, that in the event that Reuven dies, and Levi was not alive either, so what do you do with it? You give it to the Yarshim of Mishen Ishtachulai. What does the Yeshayimrim hold? Hoylech Kischi. The Yeshayimrim holds that Hoylech is Kischi, and being that Hoylech is Kischi, as soon as Reuven said, Hoylech Mano L'Ploini, at that point, Levi was already Zoich in it, so that now you have to give it to his Yarshim. Now Rashi speaks out, this is a very important Rashi, that it's not Muchach from the words of the Yeshayimrim that the Yeshayimrim hold Hoylech is Kischi. Loilam, I can tell you, Yeshayimrim holds Hoylech is Lav Kischi, but being that they're only commenting on the case where Reuven died, Maybe the reason you give it to Yerushim Nishan Nishtalchu, as opposed to the Yerushim Mishaleach, is because of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. But Rashi says, although in the words of the Yesh Oimrim that could work, but in the Cheshbon of the seven Shittas, it's not going to work. And the reason is because that's going to be the next Shittah. The next Shittah is going to be Hoylech Lav Kischiba Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. And if that's what the Yesh Oimrim said, that means the Yesh Oimrim and the next Shittah are saying the same thing. So Rashi speaks out somewhat by Richos, it's Muchach, therefore, not from the words of the Yesh Oimrim, but from the words of the next Shita, that the Yesh Oimrim must hold that Hoylech Kischiba. But either way, according to the Yesh Oimrim, it would come out even if the Mashalech would not have died. Meaning, this is a comment, Sayan what Rabbi Yaakov and Rav Nosson said, the second Shita, and Sayan the Tanakama, the first Shita. The halacha would always be, you give it to Levi, Yarshim. You give it to Levi's Yarshim, whether Reuven's alive, you give it to Levi's Yarshim, whether Reuven's not alive. Either way, next sheet is Rabbi Yudan Nasi Yama Mishum Rabbi Yaakov Shama Mishum Rameir, Hoylech Lav Kischi. Right? What were the words of Rabbi Yudan Nasi, the name of Rabbi Yaakov, the name of Rameir? Cryptic. Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Ames. What do they hold? They hold Hoylech is Lav Kischi. Like the first two sheetahs, Miu, Heichel, the miss in the case that the Mishaleach died, Amrina Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, and therefore, what's the halacha? You give it to the Yarshim of Misha Nishtalchulai. The Chachamim are the fifth Shita. What did they say? Yachloiku. What does Yachloiku mean? Mesafkalu. They had a suffix. They weren't sure. And because they weren't sure, so therefore, the halacha is Yachloiku. Shnai Moichsim Batalis? Yachloiku. Maman Amotu Besafik? Yachloiku. When you have a Safik, sometimes what you do is you say Yachloiku. And being that they have a Safik, therefore they said Yachloiku. Now, what were they Mesopik about? So if you look at Rashi, it's a very, very schwer Rashi. Rashi says, Mesafkaluhu, I Kischi Domi Eloi. They were Mesopik whether Hoylech is Kischi or Hoylech is Lav Kischi. The I Mitzvah Lekayim Eloi. And they were also Mesopik whether Mitzvah is Lekayim Divrei Ames or Mitzvah, you don't say Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Ames. Not for now, but the Ktsois in Simon Kuf Chav Heis of Kotten Gimel, he's Matmiya on Rashi. Why Rashi had to say that the Sofik was Sai Hoylech Kischi and Sai Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Ames? The way the Ktsois asks the Kasha is Rashi could have said that the Sofik is whether or not Hoylech is Kischi Dami and not whether Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Ames, meaning it could be Poshit that Mitzvah or that there is no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, yet at the same time, there's a suffix where the hoylech is chi, and everything would work, right? Because what essentially are the Chacham saying? The Chacham are saying that I'm not sure what to do with this money. As a result, everyone's going to split it. As long as them is suffix where the hoylech is chi dami or hoylech is lav chi dami, at that point, you're going to end up with a regular suffix. I'm not sure if when Reuven told Shimon hoylech mano l'ploini, Shimon was zoichin. If he was Zoich at that point, now that Shim is not alive, it's going to, that Levi's not alive, it's going to go to his Yarshim. Or whether Hoylech Mono Leploini was Lav Kischi Dami, and as a result, it's going to go to the Yarshim of Reuven. Meaning, the suffix of who should get the money is going to be in a play if you're not sure whether Hoylech is Kischi Dami or Hoylech is Lav Kischi Dami. And that would be true even if you hold for sure that there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. Because if you have a suffix whether Hoylech is Kischi or Hoylech is Lav Kischi, then regardless of whether the Mashalech is alive, or regardless of whether the Mashalech is not alive, you're going to have a suffix whether Levi was Zoich in it or whether Levi was not Zoich in it. Now, if you hold for sure mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, so then, in the event that the Mashalech died, so at that point, anachanami, peteres vaday, you'll have an obligation to give it to Levi. But let's assume that for sure there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, so now you have a suffix, whether hoylech kischi or hoylech is lav kischi. If Reuven is alive, you have a suffix, did Levi get it when he said Hoylech Mano Leploini? Did Levi not get it when he said Hoylech Mano Leploini? And if Reuven's not alive, it's the same exact Shaila. I Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. We're going to say that no one holds Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. So, Taina D'Ktois, why did Rashi need that there's a suffix Saif Hoylech Kisri, Hoylech Lav Kisri, and Saif is a suffix whether Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames or no Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames? Take a position on Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. Now, granted, you have to take the position of there is no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, but as long as you take the position of there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, every case that was mentioned up until this point in the braisa is going to be yachloiku. And that's something that the Ktsoi speaks out in Parshat Pshat. You just said we're not going to speak about the Ktzos. But the Ktzos says that the Chachamim Ziachloik is going back on both cases. Right? It sounds like it's going back on everything that was mentioned up until this point in the Braisa. Say the case where it was Mesa Mishalech, and say the case where it was Loy Mesa Mishalech. But if you have a Sofik of Hoylech Kisri, then in both of those cases, you can have a Sofik what to do with the money. You don't need to take a position at... You don't need to be mesupik in mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. You can take a position in mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis, albeit the position that there is no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis. But the bottom line is a little confusing. The chamim shita is yachloiku. They had a safik. V'kan amru in Bava, what was the halacha? They said that the shliach should do whatever he wants to do with it. Why? Because shuda adav. Because in Bava they held that if you have mamon amotu b'safik, you don't say yachloiku, but you say shuda d'daini. Right? What do you do when there's a mamon amotu b'safik? So learn the first few blad in Sachs Bav Mitzir and Shnai Moichson or Chesk Sabatim, and you'll figure it out, maybe. But the point is, sometimes it's Echloiku, sometimes it's Shudah Dadaini, sometimes it's called the Olam Gavar, sometimes it's you leave it by the Muchsik, right? It's complicated. But the bottom line is that in this Shailah, where it's a moment I'm about to be suffic, the machloikis, the chachonim, and the kans were, do you say Yachloiku Adif, or do you say Shudah Adif? And the seventh, Tana that was mentioned, the Braisa, Reb Shimon HaNossi, Mais Oslash Minon. He really wasn't being mechadish anything. Right, what did Reb Shimon HaNossi say? Reb Shimon HaNossi said, the Yachseru, he said over a story where they were told, send it back to the Yarshim of the Mishalech. That was the second Shita that was mentioned, the Braisa, Reb Nossi and Reb Yaakov said, Yachseru, the Yarshim Mishalech. But the bottom line is, says the Gemara, we have here these seven different opinions. What happens if it's Hoylech Mano L'Ployni, and then Ployni wasn't alive, and then we added the wrinkle, or if now the Mishalech is also not alive. So what are you supposed to do with the money? There are a lot of shittas going on here. And says the Gemara, the only way I could see navigating all these shittas is by at the very least saying that there's a machloikis whether hoylech is kisri or hoylech is lav kisri. In fact, what came out from the Braisa is that there are shittas that hold hoylech is lav kisri. There's a shitta that holds that hoylech is kisri. And there's even two shittas that were mesopic, whether hoylech kischi or hoylech lav kischi. So it says the Gemara, my lav, l'chura, isn't this the machloikis tanon that's going on in this braisa? Now, there's other machloikis going on in this braisa as well. There was machloikis whether mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'meis, another machloikis, yachloiku adif or shuda adif. But at the very least, what we just need is one nekuda. Don't you see over here machloikis whether hoylech is kischi or hoylech is lav kischi? But the Gemara says no, loy. Bibari, if the story was talking about where Ruvain, the man that said Hoylech Mano L'Ployni was a Bari, the Kuliyama L'Ployni, there would be no Machloikis. Meaning everybody would hold Hoylech is Lav Kischi Dami. And do the math. But the bottom line is, as it relates to Halacha L'Maitza, everybody would hold that Hoylech is Lav Kischi Dami. Now, there'd still be a Shaila, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ha'meis. But as it relates to this Nekuda, Hoylech Kischi or Hoylech Lav Kischi, everybody holds that Hoylech is Lav Kischi. V'hocha b'mayaskinon, what then is the Machloik is going on in this Braisa? So we're discussing a Shchiv Mira. We're talking about with a Ruvain, the man that said Hoylech Mano L'Ployni was not a Bari. He was a Shchiv Mira. U'beplug to the Rabbi Lazav Rabbanon. And really what we need to do is we need to remove the discussion of Hoylech Mano L'Ployni from everything we just said and replace it with a different Shaila. And that is a machloikis tanoim, the machloikis between Rabbi Loza and Rabban. What's this machloikis, Rabbi Loza and Rabban, the Tanan? It's based on a Mishnah Masechtis Bava Basra, Machalik Nechasa Bal Piv. There was a Shchiv Mera, and this man, he was divvying up all his Nechasim. So he didn't want all his Nechasim to go over Be'erusha the way the Torah mandates it go, but rather he wanted to do it his own way. He wanted to be Machalik Ben Habonim, right? He wants to give one child more, the other child less. So he's being Mechalik Nechasav Al Pip. He's doing it his way. Rabbi Loza, Imre Rabbi Loza said, Echad Bari Ve'echad Mesukin. It doesn't matter if this person was a Bari, or like in our case, where this person is a Shchiv Mera, Nechasim Sheishal Machrayis. If we're dealing with Nechasim Sheishal Machrayis, such as Karka, Avodim, so the halach is, Niknim Bekesef U'Beshtar B'Chazak. You have to make the Kinyan that you always have to make if you want to be Koinin Nechasim Sheishal Machrayis. V'Shein LeMachrayis, if you're dealing with Metaltlin, Ein Niknim Ela Mashicha. You have to be kind of the way you always kind of metalton, and that's Mashiach. The Chachamim Moiru, the Chachamim said no. That if you're dealing with a Shchiv Mera, Elu ve'Elu Niknim ba'Miru, that a Shchiv Mera can be Maknim ba'Miru. You don't have to make any kinyan, and the reason is because Divrei Shchiv Mera Kichsuvim v'Chim Surim Dami. Incidentally, Kichsuvim is referring to Nechasim Sheyesh L'Machrayis, which is Niknis Bishtar. Ukimisurim is talking about Nechasim She'in L'Machrayis, which is Nikna B'Mashicha. It's Nikna B'Mesira. But the bottom line is, this is the Chachamim Shita of Divrei Shchiv Mera Kichsuvim L'Chimsurim Dami, and clearly there's a Baal Plukta here. Who's the Baal Plukta? Rabbi Lazar. He was Chayil Amru Loi. The Mishnah continues and says that the Chachamim told Rabbi Lazar, Maisa, there was a real story, Be'iman shel b'nei Ruchel, with the mother of the sons of Ruchel. So Ruchel sounds like a lady's name. So this is Resh Vav Chof Lamed, Yeshem L'Mesayres. Ruchel was usually a peddler, very often treated in Chazal in a disparaging way. Ruchel is a chashud, but that's not what's going on here either. This is a man named Ruchel, and the man named Ruchel had sons. The son's mother, so this woman, I guess, is Ruchel's wife, but the point is, Maisna be'iman shel b'nei Ruchel, the mother of the sons of Ruchel, she was sick, she said, take my some piece of jewelry and give it to my daughter. It was very, very valuable. Umeisen, she died. And even though there was no kinyan that took place, Chachamim said, if that's what she said, that's what needs to be done. Based on the rule of Divrei Shchemara, Kichsuvim v'chim surim dami. Either way, the Chachamim told Rabbi Loza, isn't this a mefurish raya, it's a maisa shahaya, it's a maisa rav, that Divrei Shchimra's kichsum is from Dama Amalam. He told him, no, Pnei Ruchel, you're talking about the Pnei Ruchel, tik bereim imeim. So Rashi says, this is a klala, this is some sort of curse. But the bottom line is that Rashi explains that being that the Pnei Ruchel, these weren't good guys, and this wasn't a really chash of the family. So the Chachamim, they didn't really want to investigate the story too much. They never really were ma'ayin so much in the halacha. And as a result, two nuschah is how you could explain the Gemara. Either they weren't so medacted to get the halacha right, or it could be when this story was retold, no one really knew the fact so well. And as a result, you can't really prove anything from the story. But the bottom line is don't bring me mices from someone that was a Rasha, because it was never really understood properly, and if it was never really understood properly, you can't bring any rice. But the bottom line is, what do you see from this Mishnah? This is a very important Mishnah. Stam, a good idea. That even though we know throughout Shas, Divrei Shchimras, Kichsur, and Chimsur, not everybody holds that way. It's really Machloikis, Rabbi Lazar, and the Chachamim. Either way, says the Gemara, once we know that there's Machloikis, Rabbi Lazar, and the Chachamim, where the Divrei Shchimras, Kichsur, and Chimsur, and Dami, we can revisit our Braisa with the seven different Shitas Atanoim, and we can plug in this machloikis, and everything else is going to work. And really, what the Gemara is going to do is exactly what it did up until this point. We're just going to replace the hoylech kischi part of the discussion with divrei shchivmera kichsuvim v'chimsurim dami. That's exactly what's happening, right? It's the same exact cheshbon. Not an easy cheshbon, but it's the same exact cheshbon, and we're just replacing those two things. And just conceptually to understand a little bit. But what's the machloikis hoylech kischi dami? Hoylech kischi dami is a machloikis. If Reuven tells Shimon, take this and bring it to Levi, there's a tzad that Levi should be zoichin it right away. How's he zoichin it right away? He doesn't even know about it. The Torah says hoylech kischi, and zochin ladim shloibu fonda, but based on that, he would be zoichin. That's a very, very big kiddush. The Gemara wants to say, no, there's no such sheet, there's no such day that hoylech kischi. But I can still create such a metzias where Reuven tells Shimon, be zoichin something on behalf of Levi, and Levi's going to be zoichin right away. Make him a shchiv merah, and work not with hoylech kischi, but work with divrei shchiv merah, kisum rechim surim dami. So it's just two drachim to end up in the same result. We just want to come up with some academic oifen of having a situation where Reuven tells Shimon, be zoichin to Levi, and Levi's going to be zoichin. Till now, we thought it's hoylech kischi. We'll replace it with divrei shchiv merah. But the bottom line is, that's exactly what's going on in this price. Okay, so how does the math work? The Tanakhama that if somebody says, hoylech manu l'ployni v'holochu b'kshav b'lei mitzoy yachzir l'mishalech, it's talking about where that person that said hoylech manu l'ployni, our Reuven, was a shchiv merah. Being that it was a shchiv merah, divrei shchiv merah, kichsuvim v'chim surim dami, therefore, you would have thought that it should work, stating that the Tanakhama holds Yachzur l'mishalech, and the reason he holds Yachzur l'mishalech is because he holds like Rabbi Lazar, who does not hold the Divrei Shchiv Merah Kichsur v'chim surim dami, and therefore you give it back to the Mishalech. Rabbi Nasr, Rabbi Yaakov Nami, what did Rabbi Nasr, Rabbi Yaakov say? They were talking about the case where now the Shliach goes back to the Mishalech, and he finds out that everybody died, right? The Mishalech also died. So what does he do? He's supposed to give it to his Yarshim. They also hold like Rabbi Lazar that you don't say divrei shchiv merah kichsuv v'chim dami. They just add the knesh. They have to miss that even though the mashalech died, it's still loyimrim. Mitzvah l'kaim divrei emes. You don't say mitzvah l'kaim divrei emes. V'yeshayimrim. That's the third shita. What did the Yeshayimrim say? The Yeshayimrim said that in the event that the mashalech died, you should give it to the yarshim of misha nishtalchuloi. They hold like the rabbanon. that were chaylik and Rabbi Elazar, the whole divrei shchem rakich sur mechem sur and dami. And here too, you'd have to speak at the same Rashi that we spoke, that we went through this the first time. Even though it's not muchach, because they only said their halacha in the case that the mishaleich died, so maybe the reason you give it to the yarshim and mishan ishtal chaloi is because mitzvah l'kaim divrei ameis, meaning loyim they hold like Rabbi Elazar that you don't say divrei shchem rakich sur mechem sur and dami, but mitzvah l'kaim divrei ameis, problem is that's the next shita, so therefore it's not going to work. So bal karchach, what does the Yesh Oimrim hold? Yesh Oimrim holds like the Rabbanan, Divrei Shchem Rak Yisrim Rukim Surim. Rabbi Yudah Nasi, Shammai Mishom Rameir. What did he say? Rabbi Yudah Nasi, here we skip Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yudah Nasi, that's the name Rabbi Yaakov, that's the name Rameir. He just said Mitzvah L'Kaim Divrei Ameis. He holds like Rabbi Lazar, that you don't say Divrei Shchem Rak Yisrim Rukim Surim Dami. However, in the event that the Mishaleich died, Mio Heichot Amis, Amrin Mitzvah L'Kaim Divrei Ameis. The Chachad Amayimrim, Yachloik. Why Masafkaluhu? Vekan Amru Shuda Adif. Also, they were Masafkalu, but they hold that in the case of Safik, not Yachloiku Shuda. And what's a Safik here? Not Masafkalu, whether Hilch is Kishi, but rather Masafkaluhu, whether we say Divrei Shchimra Kisurim Surim Dami, Ram Nasi, Reb Shimon Hanasi, Maisa slash Reb Shimon Hanasi is not a Nushita, rather all he was coming to tell me was a Maisa. So the bottom line is, there's really two ways to make sense of all these different Shitas in the Braisa. The tzad hashava between the two ways is that there was a machloikus whether mitzvah l'kaim divrei ameis or not, whether yachloiku adif or shuda adif, but really where there's some ambiguity and where you can go in two drachim is you could say that there's a machloikus happening over here, whether hoylach is chischi or hoylach is lav chischi. You could say there's a machloikus going on here, whether divrei shchiv merak is chsuvim chim surim dami. And the Gemara says that as it relates to the second mahalach, that they're arguing whether divrei shchiv merak yichsurim chsurim dami, that's an age-old machlokes tanon. That's a machlokes tanon between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. We may have forgotten about it, but it's a mefurish mishnah in the end of Bava Basra. Not everybody holds divrei shchiv merak yichsurim chsurim dami. So that beer in the Braisa actually has a makar. To say that there's also a machlokes tanon, but the hoylach is kischi dami, I hear it. It's definitely something you can entertain. But a mefurish machlokes tanam like that you don't have, and if the whole basis to say that there's a machlokes tanam where the hoylach is kischi or hoylach is lav kischi from this brisa, that's something that's going to be shut down. It's not something that's going to be muchach. So the Gemara, two postscripts to this long brisa. Ibaylu Reb Shimon Anasi. So we mentioned the Tana Reb Shimon Anasi. So this is a rather simple ibaya as far as a complicated brisa goes. Nasi who? I mishmeid the Nasi kama. Reb Shimon HaNasi. Was this someone called Reb Shimon HaNasi? I think Gemara's tiny. I never heard of him. Like, who is Reb Shimon HaNasi? Was this such a person? Or maybe Reb Shimon is saying over something in the name of the Nasi, but it's not Reb Shimon the Nasi. Reb says, Toshma, I'll bring you a raya from something Reb Yosef said. Amr Reb Yosef, halacha ki Reb Shimon HaNasi. Mar says, I'm not sure what we were poshet. Vadayin tibay lecha, Nasi hu? Oida kama mishmeid the Nasi? And the Gemara says, for this, we're going to have to wait for Yoa Tishbi. Tishbi, Yitaritz Kushiz, Vibayis, Teiko, Kufa. One other postscript. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, Halacha ke Rabbi Shimon HaNasi. Right? Rabbi Yosef said, Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon HaNasi. Faith to Gemara, is that true? The Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon HaNasi. So we have to go back to Rabbi Shimon HaNasi for a second. What did Rabbi Shimon HaNasi say? That when Reuven told Shimon, Hoylech Mono Le Levi, and he found out that Levi wasn't alive, he went back to Reuven, and Reuven was also not alive. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to give it to the Yarshim of Reuven. Shimon HaNasi didn't say the halacha. Maisa aslashmina. He had a maisa where that was the psak. If that's the case, right, the Gemara, how could Rabbi Yosef say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon HaNasi? V'akaymalon divrei shchiv mera kichsuvim v'chimsurim damu. We passed like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Elazar. We almost forgot there's a Rabbi Elazar. We passed like the Chachamim that divrei shchiv mera is kichsuvim v'chimsurim damu. So if divrei shchiv mera is kichsuvim v'chimsurim damu, and the Akimta, the second Akimta that the Gemara gave for the Braisa was, it's talking about where Reuven was a shchiv mera, so that means Levi was zoich in it. If Levi was zoich in it, so why are you giving it back to the Yarshim of the Mishaleach? L'chayra, divrei shchiv mera kichsuvim v'chimsurim damu, for sure it should be by the Yarshim of Levi. Zokta Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Moiki Lababari. Rabbi Yosef learned the Braisa like the first Mahalach in the Sugya. Not we're talking about where Reuven was a Shchimra, but Reuven was a Bari. And the Machloikis is Hoylech Yischi or Hoylech Lav Yischi. But the bottom line is he was a Bari. And being that he was a Bari, has nothing to do with Divrei Shchimra, Kichsurim, Kichsurim, Dami. So essentially, what then was Rabbi Yosef paskining when he said the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon HaNasi? What he was paskining was is that Hoylech is Lav Yischi. Oh, Hoylech Lav Yischi. That's okay. But the Gemara says he wasn't only paskining Hoylech Lav Yischi. There were really two chedushim that were mavur in the Shita of Rab Nosin and Rab Yaakov, which is then the sheet of Rab Shimon Anasi. Number one, Hoylech Lav Kischi, and number two, that you don't say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. And the Gemara says that's also a problem, because V'Halu Yarshim Mishaleach Kamar, the second sheet, the halacha Rav Shimon Anasi was, you give it to the Yarshim Mishaleach, V'Kayim Elo Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, and we pass a Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. So it's true to say that the halacha is Hoylech Lav Kischi, no one has a problem with that. But to say that we don't pass a Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, that's already an issue. So the Gemara says, you're right. Tony, you have to change the girsa in Rabbi Yaakov Rav Nosson and say, Yachs, not Rabbi Yaakov Rav Nosson. You have to change the girsa of Rabbi Shimon Anasi and you have to say, Yachsu L'Mishaleach. That Rabbi Shimon Anasi's Maisa, Asa L'Ashminon, wasn't supporting the second sheet of the Braisa. It was supporting the first sheet of the Braisa. The first sheet of the Braisa just took one position. It took the position that in the first understanding, in the second understanding, you don't say divrei shchimra kichsurim chimsurim dami. Rabbi Yosef that said Allah, Rabbi Shimon Anasi learned like the first mahalach, and really all he was doing was paskening that hoylech is lav kischi dami. It's not a steer to divrei shchimra kichsurim chimsurim dami, because we're not talking about a shchimra, and it's not a steer to mitzvah lekayim divrei ames either, because we're not talking about where he died. As a result, it's okay that he paskin that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Anasi and Hadron Halach Hamevi Kamo Hadron on the first Hamevi, the first Perek in Masechtas Gittin. So not for now, because we don't have time, and Baruch Hashem we have related raid bites. But we just learned the sugya that converged three ideas. Hoylech Kischi, Hoylech Lav Kischi, Divrei Shchiv Merak, Kichsurim V'Chimsurim Dami, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, or you don't say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, and then for good measure, we even threw in, what do you do when you have a Safik Moment? Is Yachloiku Adif, or is Shnuda Adif? So we just learned Kala Tayrukula Regalachas. But the bottom line is, there's a lot going on here, but I think it's Kedai to mention one Taisvis, and V'Tein L'Chachem Yech Gemoyed in the Braid Bites. But the Har is, it's Taisvis Kasha on Daf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph here in Masechtas Gittin. It's also Taisvis Kasha in Masechtas Ksubas Daf Ayin Amar Aleph. Taisvis says, I don't understand why we have two independent ideas that to me sound the same. On the one hand, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, and on the other hand, Divrei Shchiv Mera Kichsuvim V'Chimsurim Dami. Frank Taisvis, aren't they the same? Isn't Divrei Shchiv Mera Kichsurim V'Chimsurim Dami and Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames one and the same? Now, to be clear, the halacha of Divrei Shchiv Mera Kichsurim V'Chimsurim Dami is only Nogeya Shchiv Mera. It's Nogeya, a man who's very, 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 very ill. Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames is true even for a bari. A gesunter Mensch says something, then all of a sudden, boom, he died. Still, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. The kasha is that if I know mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, and that's true, cipher a bari and cipher a shchimera, why then do I need a halacha of divrei shchimera kichsuvim v'chimsurim bami? If I know mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, that in and of itself should be enough. And the kasha really a little bit jumps out of our sugya, because we saw in our sugya that if somebody tells a shliach hoylech mano l'ploini, and then the person that he was supposed to bring the mana to died, or the mishaleach died, what exactly he's supposed to do with this mana is really going to be governed by either mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames or divrei shchiv mera kichsurim v'chimsurim dami. And it sounds like they're governed in the same way. Meaning, if divrei shchiv mera kichsurim v'chimsurim dami, then you have no choice. You have to do what the shchiv mera said. And if mitzvah l'kayim is divrei ames, again, you have no choice. You have to do what the mishaleach said. Right, and both halachas, the way they played themselves out in the discussion of this long braisa, was that if divrei shchiv mera kichsurim v'chimsurim dami, okay, hoylech mano l'ploini, give it to Levi, or give it to his yarshim. If mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, okay, give it to Levi, or give it to his yarshim. They seem to have played themselves out, a shtickle the same way, as far as nafkamina's halacha go. So the bottom line is, Freitosis, once I already know mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, why do I need this new idea of divrei shchiv mera kichsurim v'chimsurim dami? And because of this kasha, Tosfos has a very big chiddush. Tosfos says that the whole idea of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is really only negeya very, very specific cases. Not true in all cases. It's negeya where you are mashalish something in somebody else's rishos. It could be it's only negeya something that you can give over b'yerusha. Tosfos, not for now. That's what the raid bites for. But there's very, very specific applications of where you say mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. And that's why, even though it's true, there is a halacha of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, but on top of that, benoisif to that, we still needed the halacha of divrei shchiv mera kichsurim v'chimsurim dami. One of the points that the Lamdim discuss, Rabbi Chanan asks this kasha in Kovet Shurim and Masechtas Ksubas, and that sugya in Ksubas Dafayin, is that if you would ask me, said Rabbi Chanan, I would say that the two sugyas are completely unrelated, even though they sound the same, and it could be they would result in comparable nafkaminas lalacha, but at the end of the day, if you think about it a little bit, they're not the same. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-mace means that if a mace said something, you have an obligation to fulfill his dying wishes. Just like there's a mitzvah of kibud av v'eim, you're supposed to listen to something that your parents tell you to do, and there's a mitzvah to listen to different levels of authority. Mitzvah l'kayim, divrei ha-mace. There's an inyan, you should fulfill what the mace said you're supposed to do. Divrei shchiv merah, Chazal said, is kichsuvim chimsurim dan, which means that when a shliach, or when a shchiv merah says something, it's as if it happened. It's already chal. On the divrei shchiv merah kichsuvim chimsurim dami, we assume Pliny was zeichen in it already. It's his. You don't need any ksiva v'mesira. Just simply saying those words. The halach is we assume that that person has a full schus in it. I don't need kinyanim. You don't need kinyanim. Mitzvah kam divrei ha-meis. There's no chetz of a kinyan. It doesn't trade hands. The title doesn't shift. Right now, we have a responsibility to do what this Mishalech said and what this Mace said should be done. But nothing was actually chal from a Chosha Mishpat perspective. It sounds like from Tosfos, the Tosfos held Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMace, not only is it just like an abstract mitzvah, follow what he said should happen, but it sounds like something's chal. Because if nothing is chal, what's fake Tosfos? So this is a big mocharai if we were learning this being just Pasha of Shat. This is a Tosfos in two places in Shas, which L'Chayr at first glance require beer. Tosfos didn't see any chilik between mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis and divrei shchiv merah kichsuvim chimsurim dami. L'chayr, every Talmud in yeshiva would tell you there's such a poshita obvious nafkamina. So Tosfos didn't make a mistake. So you have to learn up Tosfos. And either Tosfos is saying a chiddush in mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, or Tosfos is saying a chiddush in divrei shchiv merah kichsuvim chimsurim dami. But if Tosfos put them the same and put them together, obviously this Tosfos requires a little bit of beer, ayin shom. Where we've discussed this a lot, again, this is just a preview to the raid bite, where we've discussed this a lot is b'negei tzavos. So if somebody writes a tzava, and in the tzava, he instructs his family, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. Does the family have to listen, or does the family not have to listen? Right? A tzava is a big deal. But the question is, are you obligated to listen? So at first glance, you would say, what do you mean? Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. And we just had the Gemara, the last line of Hamei V'get. V'kayim alon mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. It's the halacha. We paskin mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. So if there's a halacha, the mitzvah is l'kayim divrei ha-meis. L'chayr, at first glance, you would say that for sure there's an obligation to listen to what it is that the meis said. Stating that, Tosfos was already megalotos, that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis is very, very limited in scope. It's extremely limited. That's why Chazal needed a new takon of divrei shchiv merah kichsuvim chimsurim dami. But mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis is only negeya momenus degezachin, and even then, it's only negeya something that you can give over b'yerusha or something that you amashlish in somebody's rishos. So if this person's holding your thing and he tells you to do something with it, so that's when you have the halacha mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. And by the way, that Chiddush of Tosfos brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Chayshu Mishpat. So it's even brought down the halacha, that Indian of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, the way Tosfos understood it. And based on that, l'chura, what would emerge is that there should be no Indian of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. Stating that there's one place in halacha where you do find mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. It's brought down in one place in Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, the pashtus is there's no such thing as mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis outside of Tosfos' very, very narrow definition of it. But the one place it is brought down is if somebody instructed before he died, he said, Altis biduni, I don't want you to be masked with me. And if somebody would say, I don't want you to be masked with me, so the halach and Shulchan Aruch is shoyimin loy, and the sma says that the reason is because mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis. V'kama kulmas in nishtabru to be miyashid the sma. All of a sudden, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, when the Shulchan Aruch brings the ikar halacha mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, he brings it the way Tosfos brought it. And that is, and it has very, very narrow implications. And now all of a sudden, when a person's dying and he says, Altis biduni mitamo, suddenly we have to pull out this halacha mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha-meis, I thought it's only negay and very, very specific instances. So this is a very, very big kasha. But just to digress for a moment and just to be mavchin between the end of the first parak and the beginning of the second parak is we've spoken a lot over the years about different Gedolei Yisrael who had wrote in their tzava Altes Beduni. They didn't want to hesper. And because they wrote in the Tzavah, don't be masked, there was a big shiloh, because it brought down a Shulchan Aruch that if someone says Altes Beduni, you're supposed to listen. In fact, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, and befrad Odom Gadol, where there's mitzvahs l'shmoyah divrei chachamim, and there's other factors that you would think that you're supposed to listen to the Odom Gadol. So if an Odom Gadol says Altes Beduni, what are you supposed to do? So there was a precedent that was set. This is something that repeated itself many, many times throughout history. But there was a precedent that was set, and it was set by the Noi Deb Yehuda. The Noi Deb Yehuda was Maspid the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua had written in his Sava that I don't want any Hespedin. Miroi Van Vesenusa, he said, don't be Maspid me. And the Noi Deb Yehuda said a Chiddush, the Noi Deb Yehuda was Maspid him. And the Chiddush that the Noi Deb Yehuda said was based on a Gemara in the Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Samaches Amar Aleph. The Gemara over there talks about when Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was Nifter. And Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol's Talmud Muvik, Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says he started scraping himself. He was being Masaret, his Basar, until he started bleeding. And Tosfos asks Akasha, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It's not just a loisa say in the Torah. This is something the pagans used to do. And it says, you're not allowed to do this. So how is Rabbi Akiva able to do it? And Tosfos says a very big chiddush, that Rabbi Akiva wasn't harming himself because of the pain that he felt over the loss of his loved one, over the loss of his Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer. He was doing it over the loss of the Torah, because to his Torah that was lost. So, mashallah, Davadoim, if somebody would suffer Nebuch some terrible loss, he would lose a lot of money, and he's in so much pain, and he would decide that he wants to be Masarid his Guf. I hear it. It doesn't sound like maybe, but Lamais, it's not allowed in the Torah. It says in the Torah, La Nefesh, you're not allowed to do it if a person dies. But otherwise, there's no Loisase. And said, Tosfos that Rabbi Akiva wasn't doing it over the p'tira of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva was doing it over the loss of the Torah. The Gemara says, and then the Masechta Sota and the Mishnah and the Braisa that talks about Mishmeis Rabbi Eliezer Nigna Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah was Nignas, and Rabbi Akiva, because of this great Sefer Torah that was just buried and was lost, it was for that he was bizarre. So the Rebbe said an unbelievable chiddush. He said it comes out that when a Gadol Hadar passes away, there's two things that happen. So dot zwei dinim. So dot the gavra, the mensch. We don't have the mensch anymore. But then there's also the Torah. There's the sefer Torah that's being nignas. That's another nekuda. So said the Noi Deb Yehuda, the Pnei Yeshua wrote in his hesped, don't be masped me. He's a baal bas. On the gavra, the Pnei Yeshua, he can be moichel al kvoidoi, mitzvah l'kaim divrei ames, mitzvah l'shmai divrei chacham. We have no right to be masped the mensch, the Pnei Yeshua. But he said there was so much Torah that was nignas when the Pnei Yeshua passed away. So he said, how could we not get up and mourn the Torah? And that's something we need to do. And that's why the Noi Deb Yehuda said on that the Pnei Yeshua wasn't a baal bas. That's our tzar, it's our pain, and I'm going to be maspin it based on Nigna Sefer Torah. And this set a present. The Pesachei Tshuva brings it, and it would repeat itself many, many times with different Gedolei Yisrael throughout the generations, different Anovim that wrote in their Tzava, Altes Beduni, and this is something that would play itself out. It's interesting that the Makar, how do we know about this? How do we know about this Noi Deb Yehuda? Meaning, what's the Messiah? The Messiah that we have is, and this is what the Pesachei Tshuva quotes, and really all the Poiskim that quoted this, they all had the same source. It came from Rabbi Elazar Fleckless. It came from a tshuva in Tshuva Me'ahava, where Rabbi Elazar Fleckless writes as follows. He said, Shamati miyedidi harav ma'ira goyla ha'charif ha'mufursim rableib fishalas neira yar. He was alive at the time. Shirah ben Kisvei Kodesh me'aviv. He saw amongst the ksavim of his father, Meiri v'rabi agoyen, Rameir fishalas, a chetzadik levracha, shekosef sheshama me'irenu harav agoyen, the Noi Deb Yehuda, kishe hispid ala goy rash kebag bal pnei Yeshua, etc., etc. So he said that he saw this in the ksavim of, it came from the ksavim of Mefeshas. That's where this came from, and through Rabbi Elazar Fleckless, that's how we know this idea. Now, if you look at the Rabbi Elazar Fleckless, he spoke about this in a few different places. One of the places he spoke about this was after Rabbi Leib Fischelis, his chaver, had passed away. So it seems that Rabbi Leib Fischelis also wrote in his tzava, he said, Altis Beduni. He said, don't be mas with me. He said, don't be mas with me. Now, it turns out Rabbi Fischelis was Nifton Chol HaMoed. So Rabbi Elazar Fleckless sat down to write, which is interesting. He writes that, I'm sitting down to write in Chol HaMoed. But Al Kaponim, he sat down to write the Vrei Hesped, and he said, there's really two reasons I shouldn't be Maspid. He says, number one, it's Chol HaMoed. It's Moed. You can't say Hesped and Moed. He said, number two, he said, he wrote specifically, did my Chaber, Al Tispiduni, and Sportan Shulchan Aruch, that this is the one exception to the rule where we do say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, and we don't conform with Tosfos' narrow definition of what Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames is. But he said as follows. He brought what the Rebbe said,
the Neid of Yehuda. But he said, I'm not so maskim to the Neid of Yehuda. It's interesting. He was chaylik. So even though this whole Neid of Yehuda comes from Lazar Flakless, in that tshuva, he says, I was chaylik with him. But he said, I was maskim him anyways. And I'm going to be maskim him anyways. And he had an amir de gechap. This is what he said. He said that Reb Leib Fischelis, his father, was Ramea Fischelis. We're stuck about Kant and Prague now. It was Ramea Fischelis. He says, Ramea Fischelis was a guy in Oilam. He was Meiri Virabi. He said, when he was Nifta, we were maspid him. But he says, although we were all maspid him, he says, Bichti Softu Safandaya. He says, it was all Mzist. That's a play. It's beautiful poetry. It's a play on what the Gemara says. Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis, Bichti Softu, what they were maspid him for nothing. He says, it was for nothing. He says, the reason is because Chazal say that if somebody passes away and he's a Niach Ben Kamoisai, he leaves a son that's on his level, he's still alive. That's why he doesn't say Vayomas, he says Vayigva, because he's still alive. So that means that when we were maspid Ramea Fischelis, really, we were, it wasn't a hesped. He was alive, he was Chai V'kayim, because he left over Azaz's son. A son like Rav Leib Fischelis, Chaveri V'yedidi. He says, but now the Rav Leib Fischelis was Nifter. So it comes out, Ramea Fischelis was Nifter. Because now all of a sudden he doesn't have a Ben Kamosi anymore. So he says, I'm going to be maspid, his father. That's why I'm going to be maspid. Now I'm going to talk about the son, because Lamaisa, it's a chshivus that Ramei Fischelis had such a son, but I'm not being maspid Rav Leib Fischelis. So Rav Leib Fischelis has the ability to be moichel al kvoidai, and he could say, don't be, I'm not being maspid you. I'm being maspid that your father had such a moiridig son. He says, why am I being maspid him now? Because he was just nifter too. What do you mean? He was nifter years ago. He says, no, he wasn't really nifter because he was in Yech Ben Kamaisai. But al kaponim, this is what was going on over here. I saw in a tshuva somewhere, Rabbi Vadia, he brings, in Yabi Oimer, so he brings this tshuva me'ahava, and he says, the Rabbi Lazar Flakless hischakim, that's the lashon that he uses. He came up with a good kinech. He had a good chap, hischakim. Rabbi Vadia was a shtickle bal kishon, and he had a no from the kitchen of Rabbi Lazar Flakless. He said hischakim that he came up with something clever, how he figured out to be maspid his chaver of Leib Fischelis, even though he had told him not to be maspid him, and even though ironically he is the marid shmeita of this chiddush of the night of Yehuda, but lemaisin he was chaylik. I just thought that. We just recently spoke about Rabbi Lazar Flakless's hesped that he gave on the Noida Yehuda. So I went through it again, just to be medayik, L'shoinei Hazav. So he said, one of the things was that the Mishnah says, Meshameis Rebbe, Batla Anova. So Rabbi Lazar Flakless said, a drush, he said that Rebbe talked to his Talmidim, and he said, you should be maspid me. He said, just don't do it more than you were maspid Moshe Rabbeinu, right? But you should be maspid me. So he said, Mishameis Rebbe, Rebbe was a great honor. Abba Mishameis Rebbe, Batla Anova. His Anova was only as long as he was alive. Abba Lacha Misa, Misasa, Lacha Ptirasa, Batla Anova. At that point already, he wasn't suggesting any Anova. If I cared, he said, be maspid me. He said, Abba, the Rebbe is giving aggressive in Rebbe. Because the Rebbe, referring to the Neid of Yehuda, he said that he wanted even la'achap tirosoi. Even la'achap tirosoi, there should be anova. So he says as follows. Lo'y matzinu midos anova by Rebbe Ela adyem amoves. Kiba meisim chavshi. Wasn't mechuyiv to be anova anymore. Avalios anov gamach amoisoi zeh lo'y shamanu. Ve'itzel Rabbeinu Agadol. But when it comes to Rabbeinu Agadol, the Neid of Yehuda, atam moitza anvesenusei gamach amoisoi. You find that he was anov even achamoisoi. Where do you see that? Tzivoi, because he instructed shaloi lahaspidoi. Not to be maspid him. Loi b'shem chassid v'loi b'shem tzaddik. He said, don't be maspid with the shem chassid shem tzaddik. Tziva shloi lahavad al kivri matzevas binyan avonim. Make a very small matzeva. Rak matzeva achas bat shmoyna esrei zahuvim. And you shouldn't write any groyser shtvachim and toyerim on the matzeva. Rak harava mefurs rabbi cheskel alevi ben. Baal machaber seif anoyed of Yehuda v'tzlach of bez v'ram mekilo sein. But the bottom line is, he said that, what was his tziva? His tziva was, don't call me a chassid and don't call me a tzaddik. What's pashim shah? Pashim Shat, the Neid Yudah said it is, he said, me toich am v'sanusai. He was a great sonor, a filach amoysa, right? That was Rabbi Lazar Flakless's whole point. It wasn't Mishameis anoyed of Yehuda bat la'anova. He kept his anova even lacham yisasa. So it bothered me a little bit. So then why did the Neid Yudah only say, don't say chassid and don't say anov? L'chayra, he should have said, don't be maspid me. Right? Why did he only say, don't say chassid and tzaddik? L'chayra should have said better, don't be maspid me. I think it's pashit. I think the pshat is because the Neid Yudah knew what the Oilam was going to say. The Noid of Yehuda, you're saying don't be maspid me? You're saying don't be maspid? You were maspid the Pnei Yeshua. And you were the one who was mechadish, this grace of chiddish, that the God of Ador has no places. Now, the Noid of Yehuda was an honor, but at good fashtan, and he understood what the Oilam in Prague was going to do. He understood, right? At the same time, I have won in this Indian yet. So what he did was, he said, you know what? I'm mixed shvach, and maybe I could get away with. So he said, don't say chassid and don't say tzaddik. And emesis, again, it's 20 25 pages long, the Hesped, but I'm pretty confident that Rabbi Elazar Fleckless is not going to say the word Chassid, he's not going to say the word Tzaddik anywhere in the, I mean, he said it when he talked about the Anav of the Neid of Yehuda, how he said he was such a Anav, he said, don't say Chassid, don't say Tzaddik. But I don't think he would have been Masvin him and used the word Chassid and Tzaddik, because for that, Mechatesi. You're right, you want to tell me Yishtikot Torah, you have to be Masvin, but I think that's what's happening over here. I think the Neid of Yehuda was his Chakin too, and he understood that Toilah was going to be Masvin. He set the precedent. He's the one that laid down this law. And as a result, he said, okay, you know what? At least don't say Chassid, don't say Tzaddik. At least, at the very least, we'll leave it to Yashar. And like this, he was able to accomplish a little bit of that nova that he was trying to accomplish. We weren't supposed to speak out right. I apologize for getting a little bit excited. And on that note, we begin the second parak, which is a continuation of really the beginning of the first parak, the Iker Sugya of what we've been learning. Even the name of the parak is the same. Hamevi get. And we're discussing the halacha of Hamevi get memdina sayam tzarech sheyoymer befanai nechtav ubefanai nechtav. So let's do a little bit of a recap. Hamevi get memdina sayam tzarech sheyoymer befanai nechtav. Shliach leilacha. He's bringing a get from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, or from Medina to Medina, be Medina Sayam, etc., etc. The halach is he needs to say the magic words befanai nechtav ubefanai nechtav. Why? Achlik is Rabbi and Rava. Rabbi said lefisha ein bekiyin lishma, and even though roiv of the soifrim was bekiyin lishma and stam safri the daini migmer gmiri, but there were a miyuta the miyuta of soifrim that weren't bekiyin lishma. And one of the halachas of a get is it has to be written lishma. The kasav lo lishma. We're concerned that maybe this get is not lishma. Thus, the shliach has to say befanai nechtav to ascertain that this get was prepared lishma. Rava said that's not the reason. The reason is lefisha ein edim etzuyin lekaima. We're afraid that maybe the husband at some point is going to come. He's going to be ma'ar. He's going to say this get is forged. It's a fraudulent get. To be mekayim the chesimus at that point may be complicated, and therefore we preempt it and we do our own little kiyum shtaris. And we had the shliach say befanai nechtav u befanai nechtav. And we mentioned that what emerges then is the machlokes Rab and Rav is not just why do you say befanai nechtav, but really there's a fundamental machlokes here. The machlokes is what is befanai nechtav u befanai nechtav. According to Rabba, you're saying that the shtar was prepared properly. According to Rava, you're saying that the signatures are valid signatures. According to Rava, it's a mechudesh diga type of kiyum shtaris. The Gemara discussed that according to Rava, why do you have to say befanai nechtav and befanai nechtav? This is important to segue. Why do you have to say both? Why do you have to say befanai nechtav and befanai nechtav? The Gemara's kasha was mamon of shach. It says in the Torah v'kasav la, which means that the ksiva has to be lishma. So you should just say befanai nechtav. Maybe you mean Rameyer, who holds that every time it says v'kosav, it means v'chosam, right? V'kosav law means v'chosam law. Okay, then you should have to say b'fanai nechtam to prove that the chesimus will lishma. Why would you have to say b'fanai nechtam? Who's the Tana that holds that tzai ksiv and tzai chesim has to be lishma? There are two ways. It's either it's Rabbi Yehuda in the Sugya Mechuber, he holds v'kosav means tzai v'kosav, tzai v'chosam, or we're going that v'kosav law means v'kosav, not v'chosam, like Rabbi Lazar, who holds Eide Mesira Karti, but Moide the Rabbi Lazar, but Mizuv Mitoich Eshu Apostle. At the very least, if there's going to be signatures, they had to be Lishma. You might ask the same question according to Rav. According to Rav, Befanai Nechtav is Kim Shtaris, so why are you talking about the Ksiva at all? There's no Rabbi Yehuda or Moide the Rabbi Lazar, but Mizuv Mitoich that's going to help you for this. Why do you even have to say Befanai Nechtav? All you're saying is Befanai Nechtav. You're just establishing that the chesimus are legitimate chesimus. And the Gemara said that it's a good question, but we're afraid that asi lechlufe became shtaris da'alma. We're afraid that you're going to think that every kiyum shtaris could be done in this way. Meaning, what's so mechudish thing about this kiyum shtaris? Because really, the chiddish of befanai nechtav, in addition to the obvious, is that we're trusting in eid echad. Ordinarily, Ein davash of the erva pachas mishtayim. Kim shtaris requires to aid him. So how is it that an aid echad can say befanai nechtav or befanai nechtam? The teretz is mishum maguna kilubei rabbanon. We're relying on kulas, but being that this is a special kula, we were afraid dilma asi lechluvi became shtaris to amor, and therefore Chazal said that in addition to saying befanai nechtam, talk about the ksiva, then the olam is going to chav. This is not a regular kim shtaris, right? It's a decoy befanai nechtav. Like this, you shouldn't think that what you're doing is really kim shtaris, and that's the inyan of saying befanai nechtav u befanai nechtam. The Gemara said that Rabba, although he gave a different reason than Rava did, Islay the Rava. He was just being moisef on Rava. Meaning everything Rava was chayish for, Rava was also chayish for. It's just that in addition to Lefisha and Edom, Mitzuyim Lekayim, Rava also holds that the Bnei Chutz Laretz were not Bekin Lashma, and that's a second reason why you would have to say Befanai Nechtam, Befanai Nechtam. Additionally, the Gemara said that even though there was a time that this was a real concern of the Fishem Bikin Lishma, but there was a tkufa where it was quote unquote Lachashalamdu, where the Oilam had Shtigin in Chutz Laretz, and as a result, it really wasn't so necessary. Stating that, Rabba felt that Chazal had to keep the original Takana in place, Shemiyachsa Davala Kukuloi. But being that at that point it was only Al Shemiyachsa Davala Kukuloi, you find there were kulas. So if you ever had a situation where there was a Milsabul Shchicha type of Shlichos, over there we could be Saimech, we can rely and not have to say Befanai Nechtav or Befanai Nechtav. Either way, just a little bit of a recap, just the basic two Shitas, Rabba and Rava, and some of the Nafkaminas that come out. Our Mishnah now continues very much on that note. Maybe get Limdina Sayyam. If a Shliach Lailach again brings again Limdina Sayyam, but Amar Befanai Nechtav, Avalei Befanai Nechtam. He said Befanai Nechtav, but he didn't say Befanai Nechtav. Or he said Befanai Nechtam, Avalei Befanai Nechtav. So he said one and not the other. Doesn't matter which one. Befanai Nechtav Kul, Befanai Nechtam Chetzioi. Or he said Befanai Nechtav Kulai. I saw the whole get written in front of me, but I only saw half of it signed, meaning one of the two Adam. Or Befanai Nechtav Chetzioi. I saw half of it written, Befanai Nechtam Kulai. I saw the whole thing signed. Any of these cases, puzzle is going to be puzzle. What if one person says b'fanai nechtav and another person says b'fanai nechtav? Puzzle is going to be puzzle. Now Rashi sends us to a Gemara on Daf Tezayin, which is tomorrow's Daf, so it's really an Ayin Shom, but just the Gemara over there is going to discuss who are these echods and echods. Are they both shluchim? Like there were two shluchim and one said b'fanai nechtav and the other said b'fanai nechtav, or only one of them was a shliach? It's a hamevi, where one person is bringing it, he said b'fanai nechtav, and someone that's not a shliach was the one that said b'fanai nechtav. So ayin Rashi, and really more ayin tomorrow's daf. But either way, it's possible. If one person says b'fanai nechtav and the other person says b'fanai nechtav, it's possible. Shnayim oimer b'faneinu nechtav. What if two would say b'faneinu nechtav? The echad, and then a third person would say b'fanai nechtav. Possible there too. It's possible. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, it's going to be kosher. Same discussion. The same Ayin Rashi that says Mefarash B'Gemara, Echad Oimer B'Fanai Nechtav, U'Shnayim Oimer B'Faneinu Nechtav. If one would say B'Fanai Nechtav and two would say B'Faneinu Nechtav, kosher, the halacha is, in that case, it would be kosher. Either way, we have a lot of cases over here, and the Gemara is going to go through all of them. So what was the first case? Hamevi get Medina Sayyam, V'Amra B'Fanai Nechtav, Avaloi B'Fanai Nechtav. B'Fanai Nechtav, Avaloi B'Fanai Nechtav, Pasal. So if you say either B'Fanai Nechtav or B'Fanai Nechtav, it's going to be Pasal. What's the Gemara's kasha? It's obvious. The first Mishnah said you have to say b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtav. So obviously, if you say one of the two, the alba ma'isa, it's going to work. Asul amali, why do I need the Tana Mishnah to tell this to me? Hatano leich adazimno. I already know this halacha from the first halacha of the Masechta. Maybe I'm dina seyam tzarech shiyoyim b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtav. So k'tomer imeahi, had I only had the first Mishnah, I mean, I would have thought tzarech, you have to, of v'ilo yamar kasha. But if you don't do it, it's kasha. Meaning tzarech sounds like you have to, but maybe not. Maybe tzarech just means l'chatchila. It's not muchach 100% that it's ma'akiv, kamash malan, so lahoitzi miliban. The Tana Mishnah said it a second time. You have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. And by the way, in case you were wondering, if you say b'fanai nechtav and not b'fanai nechtav, or b'fanai nechtav and not b'fanai nechtav, the halacha is, it's not going to be okay. The Mishnah also said that if you would say b'fanai nechtav kuloi, u b'fanai nechtam chetzioi, or b'fanai nechtav chetzioi, u b'fanai nechtam kuloi, possible, it's going to be possible. So the second part of it was, you said b'fanai nechtav chetzioi, u'befanai nechtam kula, it's not okay. Hai chetzioi. This chetzioi that the shliach is saying befanai nechtav, which chetzioi is it? Ilema chetzioi rishon. Is it the first chetzioi? It's the first half. V'omar Rabbi Loza said, afilu le'kasa by elashita achas l'shma shuvein etzarech. That as it relates to the shliach, the soifer, who has the right to get l'shma, you don't have to write the whole Gat Lishma. Shita Achas is going to be enough. Rashi says Shita Achas is Shita Rishoyim, not just any line. It has to be the first line. Shabba Shem Ho'ish, Ve'ho'isha, Ve'hazman. But the bottom line is that all you need to do is write the first line. If all you need to do is write the first line Lishma, that should be enough for B'fanai Nechtav. And let's explain the Gemara's Kasha. According to Rabbah, why are you saying B'fanai Nechtav? To ascertain that the Get was written Lishma. How much of it has to be Lishma? The first shita, which means that's how much you have to ascertain was written l'shma. So b'fanai nechtav chetzia should be okay. And even according to Rava, that says, why are you saying b'fanai nechtav? As a decoy, so you shouldn't think that this is a regular kiyum shtaris. L'chura, by saying b'fanai nechtav chetzia, that should be enough. And certainly by saying b'fanai nechtav, the shita rishayna, which is even enough for Rabbah who holds Mikra Din, you have to say before I nashtav, it should for sure be enough as a decoy, Aliba to Rabbah. So the bottom line is, Elam Ravashi, Ravashi said, you're right, Chetziach. You have to say it's talking about where the person said before I nashtav, HaChetziach. According to Rabbah, it's Pasha, why it's not going to be okay. And even according to Rabbah, who says the only reason you say before I nashtav is to not make it look like Yim Shtaris, but before I nashtav, Chetziach, and that's not enough. Even though it's a horror, why not? But the bottom line is the Gemara holds that's not enough, and therefore the Mishnah says that if you say b'fanai nechtam chetzer, it's possible, that's easy. You will only mekayim one of the two signatures, but even if you would say b'fanai nechtav chetzer, it wouldn't be okay, because hocha b'mayaskinon, where the b'fanai nechtav chetzer that you said was the latter part. Then the Mishnah continued. The Mishnah says that if you said b'fanai nechtav kuloi, who b'fanai nechtam Chetzyoy, it's going to be possible. So again, we had Befanai Nechtav Kuloi U Befanai Nechtam Chetzyoy. We had Befanai Nechtav Chetzyoy U Befanai Nechtam Kuloi. We just explained the second half of the equation first. Befanai Nechtav Chetzyoy U Befanai Nechtam Kuloi. Right? Which Chetzyoy did you say Befanai Nechtav about that it's still going to be possible? We said it's the second half. So now we're going to discuss what happened when you said b'fanai nechtav kuloi and you said b'fanai nechtam chetzia. So it's possible. And it's really, it's not a chiddush that it's possible, right? Why is it not a chiddush? Because it's pasha that it's possible. That's why the Gemara didn't even explain it really, because it's pasha. The ikar halach of the Mishnah is pasha. It's because if you only said b'fanai nechtam on one of the two signatures, so you're missing half the equation, right? If you need v'chasam lo lishma, so you only have a b'fanai nechtam on one of the two signatures. You're missing half of the v'chasam l'alishma. And according to Rava, you only mekayim one of the two signatures. You weren't mekayim the other. If the baal's going to be ma'ar and knock out one of the two signatures, you're going to have a problem with shumaguna kilabei rabana, right? So we didn't accomplish anything by only saying b'fanai nechtam chetzi. So the halach itself is pasha. Stating that, there was a big machlokes amayroi with regards to how far this halacha goes. And that's this next last gemara. Rav Chizda said that this, that the Mishnah says, that b'fanai nechtam chetzoy is possible, it's v'afilu shnayim mi'idim al chasimas yad shein. Possible. Even if there would be two edim on the other signature. So again, a shliach brought to get medina sayam, he says, b'fanai nechtam, gevaldik. U b'fanai nechtam, chetzoy, blew it. Last second. He said, b'fanai nechtam chetzoy. It's a problem. It's pasha. What happens if two edim walk into Bezdin now, and they say that I know this other signature, and we know that this other signature is okay. So, l'chura, based on that, you would think it's fine, right? You have a b'fanai nechtav, you have a b'fanai nechtam on one of the two signatures, and I have a regular kiyum shtaris on the other signature. I think it's kedai to makdim, by the way, before we start this gemara. How do you do a conventional kiyum shtaris? What's a classic kiyum shtaris? Right, classic case. You have a shtar and you want to be mekayim de chesamas. You have to be mekayim de chesamas. Kiyum shtaris to rabbana. With the rabbana, you can't use a shtar unless you mekayim de chesamas. How do you do it? So there's three ways you can do it. One way is if the edim themselves walk into Bezdin and they testify about their own signature. This is a big chiddush, by the way. Because, first of all, how am I saying edus about myself? And also, each ed saying edus on his own signature is only one ed. So really, it's laced in chedushim. But the bottom line is it works. If they say, this is our signatures, that's going to work. Another way to do it is to have two Eidim, independent Eidim, walk in and say, oh, this is Reuven, this is Shimon. So if two Eidim say Eidus, it's no different than any Eidus, B'davah Sheva Mamon, where it's going to work. Another way is if these two signatures were once in Bezdin, and we once did a Kiyum Shtaris, it's in the database of Bezdin now, so Bezdin can pull up their database, they can match the signatures, and based on that, that's going to work as well. Mechudish the Kiyum Shtaris is the Shliach who says b'fanai nechtam, and that somehow constitutes Kiyum Shtaris as well. But the bottom line is, what's Rav Chizda saying? Rav Chizda saying that if the Shliach Lo Ilocha would say b'fanai nechtam on one of the signatures, and then two Eidim would walk into Bezdin, and they would be Mekayim, the second signature, still would be possible. Why is it possible? My time, I kula b'kiyum aget, I kula b'takonos chachamim. Because you can't mix and match. You want to be Mekayim, the signatures, with the takonas chachomim or b'fanai nechtam, do it. But then it has to be kuloi. You would have to say b'fanai nechtam kuloi. If you want to do it with kiyum shtaris, it's also fine. But you would need then, the two edim should be made on both of the signatures. To use half of it with the Takanas Chachamim and the other half with Kiyum Shtaris, that doesn't work. Maskev for Rava. So Rava told Rav Chisda, really? Mi ikamidi the evil Amar Chad Kasha Hashtik a trade puzzle. I never heard such a thing. You're telling me this Eichatimso where one person saying Eidus is better than two people saying Eidus? The Shliach says Bafanai Nechtav, yeah, it's a good shtar. But if two Eidim walk into Bezin, right, it can't be such a thing. It's untenable. Elama Rava. So Rava said, I disagree with your Chiddush, stating that I'll add a Chiddush, right? I have my own Chiddush to say, but not your Chiddush. Afilu hu ve achar meiden al chsimas yad sheni pasal. What would be if the aid, the shliach would say befanai nechtam chetzioi? The other one he can't say befanai nechtam. Can't say, he said, I didn't see it signed in front of me. But at the same time, he says, yoideyaini, I recognize the signature. And then someone else comes, and then someone else says, I also recognize the signature. So we have two Eidim regarding the other signature, but one of the two Eidim, this is the punchline, is the Shliach himself. Then it's worse, and then it's not going to be okay. My timer, why would it be a problem? Because I'm afraid that we may confuse this with a regular Kim Shtaris. And you're going to end up having one eight cause three quarters, right? One quarter less than the full amount, but you're going to end up having three quarters through one of the Eidim, and that's not something you can do. Meaning, Rashi explains that in a classic case of Kiyum Shtaris, what would be if you have two Eidim that are signed on a Shtar? And now we need to do Kiyum Shtaris. So one of the Eidim walks into Bezdin, and he says, this is my signature. Okay, that's done. Right? Even though he's an Eidechot, even though he's being made on himself, that works. Then he says, by the way, the other signature, I recognize that other signature, and I'm telling you, I know this guy, I signed together with him, it's okay. And someone else comes and does the same thing. The halacha is it's not good, because the Kiyum Shtaris now is happening three quarters by one of the people. Because the aid that's being made on himself, he's half of the equation, and he's half of the other half. So it comes out you have three quarters. So that's not something that works. Because there's halacha, the al pishnei edim yakum dover, it has to be chatzi chatzi. That's the way aidus works. This case is very similar to that, where the one aid is saying b'fanai nechtam, so he's knocking out the shliach, one of the two signatures, and he's one of the two edim on the kiyum shtaris of the other half. So being that it looks a little bit like that, so it's for that reason, it's not going to be okay. But maskef for Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi heard what Rava said. So again, if there would be two edim, said Rava, that would be made on the other signature, for sure that's going to work. But if it's not two edim, but it's the shliach, and another, even though it is two edim, but the shliach is one of the two edim, that's when it's not okay. But Rav Ashi said, Rava, the same problem you had with Rav Chizda's pshat, I have with your pshat. Mi ikum midid ilu masik le iu lekule dibure kasha. Hashka de ikum chad bahadei pasal. What's Rav Ashi saying? What would be if the shliach would say b'fanai nechtam chetzia? The other half, he says, I can't say b'fanai nechtam, but yoidei ani. He says, I know that this is a real signature. What's the halacha? It's before the Gemara. Daf gimel amud aleph. The Gemara said it would work. Right, if you remember, the Gemara said mefurish that although the takonas chazal of the shliach was to say b'fanai nechtam, but if you would say yoidei ani, it would work as well. It doesn't have to be b'fanai. Yoidei also works. In the chiddush of b'fanai nechtam is that he can come and be mekayim the shtar by saying yoidei ani, and it's going to work in the same exact way. Which means, says Rav Ashi to Rava, that if all you had was the shliach, he said b'fanai nechtam chetzioi and yoidei ani on the other half, that would be fine. That's a mefurish gemara daf gimel amud aleph. What happened? There's another guy now that's saying, I also know. How could that be that makes it work? How could it be worse? How could it be kolamoysim kereya? It's not pasul. Rav Ashi said, I don't agree with Rav Chisda's chiddush. Two edim saying edus on the other aid for sure is not a problem. And be mitzarif a second aid to the shliach on the second aid also shouldn't be a problem. Because the shliach could have done it by himself. Now, Rav Ashi, you want a chiddush? I'll tell you a chiddush. Afilu oimer. What would be if the shliach would say, "Ani hu eid sheni pasul"? He would say, "I am the other eid. I'm wearing another hat in this story. I'm the other eid." Then it would be pasul. So maybe get mevdin esayah b'fanai nechtav gevaldik b'fanai nechtam chetzioi, and I am the other eid. That already is not going to work. My timer. Why doesn't that work? Because oy kuloi b'kiyum aget oy kuloi b'takanas chachamim. Because now already you're essentially verifying the two signatures in two completely different ways. Because now what you're doing is you're making one of the signatures good using the takana of b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtan, meaning you're being made on somebody else as an eidechot, which only works in the world of b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam, mishum eguna kilu bei rabbanon, and you're doing a regular conventional kiyum shtaris on the other aid, and to merge and converge the two is not going to work. Why is Rav Ashi's pshat better than Rav Chisda and Rava's pshat? Rav Chisda said that you had two edim on the other aid. Two edim is the best thing in the world. You can't tell me that two edim is going to be worse than the shliach talking. Rava's case was where you have everything you need, you just added another aid. How could another aid walking in make it worse? If you delete that aid, you'd have everything, it should be fine. Rav Ashi's case is, I don't have two aidim, I don't have everything I need. But I have one aid, I'm using the Takanas Chachamim for one of the signatures, and I'm doing a regular Kim Shtaris for the other one of the signatures. To converge these two things, that already is not going to be okay. So, why did Amiram say all this? Right, before we finish the Gemara. Why did the Amiram say this? It's important just to understand the last piece of Gemara. Rav Chisda says a chiddush, and then Rava says a chiddush, and Rav Ashi says a chiddush. Doilum's varfin chiddushim, right? It sounds like we're coming from somewhere. Stam, Doilum got together and they said, let's see who could say the biggest chiddush today. No, there was a reason they were saying these chiddushim. The reason they were saying these chiddushim is because they were bothered by something. What they were bothered with was, why did the Mishnah mention this halacha of Befanai Nechtav Kuloi ubefanei nechtam chetzioi is possible. The reason they were bothered by it is because they thought it was pasha. The Mishnah already says echadoyim ubefanei nechtav veechadoyim ubefanei nechtam is possible. Right? Let's take that case. So if I know already that echadoyim ubefanei nechtav veechadoyim ubefanei nechtam, where I have a klara ubefanei nechtam, but it's not the same person, it's possible. There's no way that ubefanei nechtam chetzioi could be any better. So they felt that the halacha was pasha. If all the Tana the Mishnah was coming to tell me was what it said, then it was Pashit. Right? The Mishnah was very, very wordy. And it sounds like, hey, if you say Befanei Nechtav, Befanei Nechtav, or if I say Befanei Nechtav, Chetzi, Befanei Nechtav, Chetzi, one guy says Befanei Nechtav, the other one says Befanei Nechtav. It sounds like there's some Pashit to Halacha is happening over here. Good, the Gemara says, Hasul Amali. I needed to know that when the first line of the Mishnah said, I maybe get it means sarich v'tzarich. Okay, Poseid, I got that straight. So at that point, I think everything else sort of flows. So the thought process is that there must be a chiddush going on over here. And because there must be a chiddush going on over here, so now there was a discussion in the yeshiva, what was that chiddush? So Rav Chisda said, I'll tell you what I think the chiddush is. And Rava said, I'll tell you what I think the chiddush is. And then Rav Ashi said that I think you're all saying two big chiddushim. I'll tell you what I think the chiddush is. So everybody was opining and they were suggesting what they thought the chiddush was. Right? That's poshut. That's the background. And that's the segue. So Gemara Tanan, the Mishnah said, Befanai nechtav kuloi, ubefanai nechtam chetzi epasol. Something like, idda chetzi hechidami. What is going on in that other chetzi? I mean, this halacha, the way it's stated in the Mishnah. If it's talking about where there was no one saying Eidos, I mean, it's not Rav Chisda's case, it's not Rav Ashi's case, it's not Rava's case, it's the way it says it. There was just one Eid. If that's the case, then Hashta Echadim Befanei Nechtav Echad Befanei Nechtav. The Haiko Masad HaKulu Ksiva, Haiko Masad HaKulu Ksiva Apostle. Madach, the next case of the Mishnah is about to tell me that if you have a full Befanei Nechtav, a full Befanei Nechtav, albeit from two different people, it's possible. Chetzim Ibaya. Certainly, if I only have a Befanei Nechtav, it should be a problem. Ella, must be, there's a chiddush going on over here. Right, that was the segue. We walked right into the kasha. Must be there's a chiddush. What must then the chiddush be? Oy kidder Rava, oy kidder Rav Ashi. It must be either Rava or Rav Ashi. Ula fukim Rav Chisda, and not Rav Chisda. So if I was Rav Chisda, I would say, basically, like, where do you see your chiddush over my chiddush? Yeah, we just established it was a chiddush. That's why we're having this conversation. I knew that. That's why I said my chiddush, why you said your chiddush. But how do you know more Rav and Rav Ashi's chiddush than Rav Chisda's chiddush? So you need Rashi for this. Rashi says as follows, because the kiva de masnisim mishum revusa asa, being that the Mishnah is coming to tell me a chiddush, v'loi pirish my revusa asa lash minon, but the Mishnah never told me what the chiddush is. Al kar chachiyat rashoi litvas amerubo. So you can't say the biggest chiddush. You're going to Rav Chisda. El Ravusa Zutrisi, you must say the lesser chiddush going to Rav or Rav Ashi. Doloi shamet mino Ravusa. Because really, the Mishnah didn't say anything. The Mishnah didn't say not Rav Chisda, not Rav, not Rav Ashi. Elo mishum the Mishnah Yisairihi. All you have is a Mishnah Yisairah. The Chimash Malon, Afilu Ravusa Zutrisi. As soon as you tell me the smallest chiddush, Akishmak Rashi, Lav Mishnah Yisairihi. It's not a Mishnah Yisairah anymore. The Hodder Rav Chisda have a Mashmo. And if the purpose of the Mishnah was to teach me Rav Chisda, Prushik have a Farishlon. You would have told it to me Mefurish. Because it's not Muchach Rav Chisda. It's only Muchach to say a smaller chiddush. But it's not Muchach to say a bigger chiddush. Because the whole Hechrach of the chiddush is the Mishnah Yisairah. It's only a Mishnah Yisairah if the Mishnah is not telling me any chiddush. Once it tells me a small chiddush, it's not a Mishnah Yisairah anymore. But Al Kopanim, a Lomdisha explanation for how to fast the Merubah. Like the faster works. But the bottom line is Freit the Gemara, how do you see Rav Chisda? L'chayra, it's muchach either Rav or Rav Ashi. Now, we're not going to read the whole Rashi, but Rashi says from time. You see the next words? Sounds like a Tosfos. Freit Rashi, then why is it either Rav or Rav Ashi? It should be either Rav or Rav Ashi. Or in the Cheshvan of the Gemara, it should be Rav. Right? Why are we knocking out Rav Chisda? Because Rav Chisda is the biggest Chiddush. Who was the second biggest Chiddush? Rav was the second biggest Chiddush. So L'chayra, it should be muchach like Rav Ashi. It's Rashi's Kasha. But either way, that is the Gemara's Kasha. Rav Chisda is going to tell you, L'tamech, let me ask you, according to you, you think every single line in this Mishnah is telling me a Chiddush? Can you please explain to me the following Chiddush? The first part of the Mishnah said, B'fanai nechtav, avaloi b'fanai nechtav. I had the Mishnah sign. Maybe I'm Dina Sayyav, I'm b'fanai nechtav, avaloi b'fanai nechtav. B'fanai nechtav, avaloi b'fanai nechtav. It's possible. What's that Chiddush? You're telling me if you say chetzio, it's possible. If you have two people and between the two of them you got it all, it's going to be possible. Kal v'chomer, if nobody said b'fanai nechtav, if echadim b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav is possible, then certainly if you say b'fanai nechtav and not b'fanai nechtav, it's going to be possible. Snefreik Rav Chisda, what's the chiddush over there? There's no chiddush, not a big chiddush, and not a small chiddush. Ella, you have to say, Loizu, Avsuk Tani. Sometimes the Tana and the Mishnah says smaller chedushim, and it leads up to saying bigger chedushim. The Tana and Mishnah works that way. Hachinami loizu Avsuk Tani. Therefore, that's going to be the same for the second case as well. Meaning, the Mishnah starting with the smallest chedush. Loizu. If you say when the Mishnah said in the beginning of the Masechta, maybe Medina says, "I'm tzarich shem b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav." I want you to know tzarich. What does it mean tzarich? It means if you would say b'fanai nechtav and not say b'fanai nechtav, or b'fanai nechtav and not say b'fanai nechtav, it would be possible. But loizu, not only that, but afsu, I'll tell you even more. Even if you would say b'fanai nechtav chetzioi, or b'fanai nechtav chetzioi, so you said a little bit more. Even then, it would be possible. The way Rav Chisda learns, loizu, not only that, but avzu, even if you get it all, you would say say b'fanai nechtav and say b'fanai nechtav, but two different people would say it, even over there, it would be possible. So according to Rava and Rav Ashni, there had to be a chiddush in the second case. Rav Chisda said, I don't know why there has to be a chiddush in the second case. No chiddush in the first case. So the first case is operating b'derech loizu afsu. So if the first case is operating b'derech loizu afsu, I don't see why the second case can't be operating b'derech loizu afsu either.